All right, the question arises, how do people in the tribulation avoid these demon attacks? That is the major problem. And of course, there are two categories of people who could avoid the attacks. Unbelievers, through adherence to the laws of divine establishment, and believers in their modus operandi within the plan of God as it exists in the tribulation. About the only thing that is different is the absence of the divine dynasphere, which belongs to the church age believer only. The God, the Holy Spirit, is removed as a restrainer during the tribulation, and that makes a slight change in the way of life for believers in the tribulation. Now understand that the Jewish evangelists, the 144,000 who are sealed in their foreheads, will not be attacked at all under any circumstance. That has already been brought out in our passage. But there are others who will be attacked who are believers. And of course, that's the problem. Why are certain believers going to be attacked? Why are they going to be suddenly find themselves being assaulted by one of these demon armies, one of the groups from it? And of course, the problem there is cosmic involvement. Now the question, how do and under what conditions do believers in the tribulation avoid demon attack? We have already seen that those who are going to be the recipients, the targets, but what about those who are going to avoid demon attack and, as a matter of fact, survive the tribulation? They will avoid torture. They will avoid death. They will survive to become the nucleus for the tribulation or the millennium. The millennium is the beginning of a new civilization as well as a new dispensation. And therefore, there are going to be many believers who will survive, go into the millennium, and they will be the cadre for the population explosion of the millennium. No unbelievers who survive the tribulation will go into the millennium. They are eliminated by the baptism of fire. Two shall be in the field, one shall be taken. That's the unbeliever taken off the earth. One shall be left, that's the believer who is left on the earth. Occasionally you'll find some knucklehead who tries to make that a rapture passage. It has nothing to do with the rapture. It is the antithesis of the rapture. It is a reference to the second advent. There is no rapture information in the book of Matthew. There is only one statement in a parable, and that's about it. All right, how do you avoid, how would the tribulational believer avoid attack by demons? The first issue then is the old sin nature. You have to know how to handle the old sin nature. The old sin nature, of course, is Satan's inside agent for temptation. For the old sin nature resides in the cell structure of the human body. And because of this fact, we are aging in the human race, as well as this is an inside source of temptation. All aging is the result of man having the old sin nature. Adam and the woman did not age in the garden at all. They could have lived indefinitely in perpetual youth. Someone's always looking for the fountain of youth, and the real secret is not to do what Ponce de Leon did, look for a body of water. I hope he didn't drink it in the water in Florida. If he did, he would have died sooner. But the answer is found in the control of the old sin nature. There's also a genetical factor that has intruded itself into human history. But the greatest aging factor is the old sin nature. The same thing is true of wine. The same thing that ages people also ages wine under the principle. Life expectancy, of course, was longer before the flood because there was no bacteria until the flood. Aging is a secondary factor related to the presence of the old sin nature in the cell structure of the body. And the old sin nature, we acquire it at birth. We acquire it long before birth, as a matter of fact, some 9 months before birth, through the 23 male chromosomes which fertilize the female ovum. The primary consideration of the old sin nature residing in the cell structure of the body, the issue is temptation. By the way, man willfully sinned, the woman was deceived, and the 23 male chromosomes from the man is the basis for the passing on of the old sin nature. Now, ladies have old sin natures also. But the old sin nature in the lady, of course, is received from through the man. In other words, the Virgin Mary had an old sin nature. She had received it from her father, and the 23 chromosomes in which it was carried to her mother's pregnancy. And of course, the same thing is always true. Men and women alike have old sin natures, but the old sin nature is passed down through the man. This is the importance of the virgin birth, where the virgin birth resulted in the old sin nature not existing at the birth of Christ. He was born without an old sin nature. When human life is imputed to man after birth, God does this. It's imputed to the human soul, and that human life resides in the soul forever. Simultaneously, Adam's original sin is imputed to the genetically formed old sin nature, genetically formed through the 23 male chromosomes used in pregnancy. Both the issue then is that we all have an old sin nature. The exception was our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin originated from human volition. This genetically formed old sin nature that we possess, we, of course, do not say we would like to have one or we would not like to have one. We have no choice at birth when we receive human life and simultaneously Adam's original sin. But someone did have a choice, and that someone was Adam. And Adam, Adam in the Hebrew, and Isha, his wife, later called Eve, Adam and Eve were born, Adam was created, the woman was brought from, created from the man, and neither one of them had an old sin nature. An act of volition on the part of the woman resulted in her receiving the old sin nature first. She rejected, disobeyed God's plan, God's specific prohibition. Same thing is true of the man. However, he did not take the fruit from the tree. He took the fruit from the woman, which was even worse. The woman sinned in ignorance. She didn't know what she was doing, and I'll drop it right there. The man knew exactly what he was doing. He sinned in cognizance. Yes, good morning. He sinned in cognizance. He knew what he was doing. So the man provides the old sin nature through the 23 chromosomes which fertilize the female ovum. She has 23. And the old sin nature is passed on in that way. Both were guilty. Ignorance is no excuse. But the man knew what he was doing. So the old sin nature is passed down through the man. Obviously, of course, in life, neither ignorance or insanity is an excuse for crime or anything else. To use one's volition to commit a sin places the believer in the cosmic system. That's why the old sin nature becomes the problem. Now, let's see. Here is the line of demarcation between the human soul and the human body. No such line really exists, as you know, but we're illustrating. Here is the old sin nature. The old sin nature is not the source of sin. It is the source of temptation, and it throws its signals toward the soul. That's where your volition, your mentality, your emotion, and other factors exist. Guarding the gate of the soul is human volition. When this temptation comes your way, it's one of two categories. You know it is a temptation, therefore it is a temptation of cognizance. You do not know it is a temptation, therefore it is a temptation of ignorance. Now the question is not whether you know it's a temptation or not. The question is, do you want to do it? or not. You see, you never can have any problem with demons or sin or anything else apart from your own volition. That's the issue. Volition is the issue. Now, suppose it's a temptation of ignorance and you don't really know it's a sin. You wanted to do it, so you pass it into the soul. This is how the old sin nature gains control of the soul, through sin. And this is how we, as members of the human race, enter the cosmic system and thereby become vulnerable to whatever demon activity, whatever satanic modus operandi may be extant at that period, that dispensation of history. So the old sin nature throws up the temptation. It can be cut off at the pass. All you have to do is say no. And that's as far as it goes. If, however, you let it pass through, then it becomes sin. Sin originates from man's volition, not from the old sin nature. The old sin nature can only tempt. The old sin nature can only make a suggestion. You can accept or reject the suggestion. Now, you may not know that the suggestion, the temptation, is sin, but that's all beside the point. You are still responsible because you wanted to do it, and you are just as responsible for your sins of ignorance as your sins of cognizance. So whether it's a sin of ignorance or a sin of cognizance, it puts you instantly inside the cosmic system. As a matter of fact, you can get into two areas of the cosmic system. You can, for example, get into Cosmic 2 immediately. You enter Cosmic 2 through Gate 8, Cosmic 2 being the interlocking systems of hatred. Gate 8 is the old sin nature gate. And generally, though there are a few exceptions, you enter simultaneously into Gate 1 of Cosmic 1, which is the gate of mental attitude arrogance, which includes jealousy, bitterness, vindictiveness, implacability, hatred. In other words, anytime you hate anyone, you are vulnerable to demon attack as it exists today, which would be demon influence for the believer. In the tribulation, this is vulnerability to demon assault. Any arrogance, any bitterness, any vindictiveness, any implacability, any hatred, any self-pity, any guilt modus operandi, any maligning, any gossip, any revenge motivation or function, any of the usual sins in the field of hamartiology make you right now instantly vulnerable to the cosmic system. But it will be much worse in the tribulation. And when we get down to the end of our chapter, Revelation chapter 9, you are going to discover that even though the people involved were under attack from the demon assault armies, they do not repent of the number of things mentioned there. In verse 20, it has to do with idolatry, which is the means of demon possession. But in verse 21, you have the sins related to the Phallic cult. And this is why people are vulnerable to demon assault in the tribulation. And it can be a believer or an unbeliever. A believer can be just as arrogant as an unbeliever. A believer can be just as jealous, just as bitter, just as vindictive, just as implacable. He can have the same amount of self-pity. He can do any sin that an unbeliever can do. And often, since he goes through greater barriers, he can do a better job of it. In other words, he is worse than the unbeliever. So we have the first way in which we become vulnerable today. And of course, the tribulational believer has the same problem. The only difference is that in the tribulation, the believer who enters the cosmic system through this system, the old sin nature system, will be vulnerable to much more effective means of hurting him. Arrogance is self-destructive. Arrogance is entrance into the cosmic system. Once you are in the cosmic system, you destroy yourself, just as Satan will destroy his own kingdom before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today we have the divine dynasphere. They will not have it then, but they will have fellowship with God. The minute any believer sins, he loses fellowship with God. He leaves the divine dynasphere. He enters into the cosmic system. The only exception, of course, to this in all of history was the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ under the doctrine of impeccability. Our Lord Jesus Christ in his deity was known posse peccari. This is the deity of Christ. In the deity of Christ, he was not able to sin. God cannot sin. But in his humanity, he was posse known peccari. He was able not to sin because he also functioned inside the divine dynasphere. Now that's the only exception in the human race. Any time that the tribulational believer or unbeliever faces any kind of a temptation, and through the function of his own free will, he therefore enters into the sin. For remember that the source of sin is human volition. The source of temptation, the old sin nature. And all they have to do is to, believers in the tribulation, all they have to do is sin and not rebound. Now, the moment we sin, any of us, we go into the cosmic system. Cosmic 1, gate 8. Cosmic 2, cosmic 1, gate 1. We go into the cosmic system. But the tribulational believer has the same option we have, the option of rebound and getting out of the cosmic system. When the demon assault armies attack, whatever believers are in the cosmic system are instantly vulnerable to avoid being attacked in the tribulation. The believers will either have to say no to the temptation in the first place or instantly rebound in the second place. I assume that all of you know what rebound is. We certainly are not going to take that up today. Now, there's another way in which tribulational believers will become vulnerable to demon attack, and that is through people. They will make friends, nice people among unbelievers or among believers who are in the cosmic system. People can only become a distraction to people where you permit it. That's true today. That will be true then. And of course, it's a matter of your scale of values. If doctrine is first in your scale of values, generally you can avoid this thing. But social life, sexual life, business life, of course, involves people. And often people take precedence over doctrine. Therefore, people become inadvertently or deliberately the agents of the cosmic system. And once in the cosmic system, the believer of the tribulation will, in effect, be subject to demon attack. The people, then, are always a source of problem or a source of blessing. And whether they are a problem or a blessing has nothing to do with your environment. It has absolutely nothing to do with their deception. It is your responsibility. You still have your own free will. And in the tribulation, the same thing is true. People will be a source of cosmic evangelism. And as a result of this cosmic evangelism, many believers will be caught in the cosmic system when the demon assault armies make their attack. And of course, the importance of rebound, again, extremely important. Now, once you begin to think you're a little intellectual, a little smarter than everyone else, you've learned something no one else has learned, then you have a problem from your own thinking. And, of course, there are going to be believers in the tribulation who are pseudo-intellectuals, like so many fundy pastors who don't know their way out of the dark, and yet they find themselves, they run off here and they run off there, and they hear some cultural exercise and related to Christianity, or they get interested in Bardianism or something else, and they are phonies, they are pseudo-intellectuals. the so-called ICE pastors, with whom I have nothing to do, they just merely use my material. The so-called ICE pastors, some of them are pseudo-intellectuals. They're not, but they regard themselves and their arrogance as having great answers to everything. That puts them in the cosmic system. That makes them vulnerable to demon influence. In fact, some of the stuff they teach is straight down the middle demon influence. False doctrine. Now that's today. In the tribulation, there will still be these false prophets, and in some cases even true prophets running loose. And in arrogance, they will become involved in that which is false, human viewpoint. And the result is, they will become vulnerable to demon attack because they are living in the cosmic system. The world is an unfair place. The world is filled with injustice. And that's true in the church age, and that is true in the tribulation. There's always a lot of injustice in the world. And I like to call organized injustice a bad system. A bad system which comes into existence historically because of the genius of Satan and the evil of his cosmic system. And it is not stretching it to say that some bad systems are not the result of Satan's activity at all, but they really are the result of folly. We have learned in life that nothing is foolproof because fools have become so ingenious. History, of course, is cluttered with bad systems. We have bad systems today. There will be bad systems in the tribulation. Many organizations are legitimate organizations with worthy objectives, but they are neutralized by arrogant leadership. The arrogant leadership, which we will see later on in Satan, as he turns against his own. Believers in a legitimate system can become the victims of bad management, personality and management conflict, and therefore a bad system inevitably is a test. If you react to a bad system today, if you have an unfair boss, if you have confusion the moment you go to work until you leave, if you have an unjust commanding officer, if you have someone who supervises you during your working hours who is unfair and unjust, and you react to that, then, of course, you go into the cosmic system. You are to live your life as unto the Lord. Well, the same thing is true in the tribulation. In the tribulation, there are bad systems, and believers will react to it. In arrogance, I'm not getting a fair shake. Life is unjust. I am being discriminated against. Don't you kid yourself for a moment. Don't you worry about discrimination unless God discriminates against you. Then you have divine discipline and you have real trouble. But if you do your job as unto the Lord, you're in an organization. Let's make an organization on the board here. The organization has, of course, a structure of authority. It has a system of leadership and authority. It has an objective. It has a modus operandi. And this filters down to everyone in the organization. Suppose the leadership is unfair and unjust. Suppose the modus operandi is unfair to you personally. The objectives of the organization are not being met by someone over you. What is your responsibility? Your responsibility is to do your job as unto the Lord and not as unto the boss. You work from integrity. He may work from arrogance. But as long as you work from integrity and do your job as unto the Lord, you're going to do well and you will never have any problem with regard to the cosmic system. But the moment that you get your eyes on people, people are being promoted over you. The boss is promoting his family, and it's a family business, and you're shut out. All of the things that could happen. If you react, then of course you go into the cosmic system. As long as you do not react, you're all right. In the tribulation, literally thousands of believers are going to react against bad systems. And the moment they react, they're going to find themselves targets. Targets for the first and second demon assault armies. We see unfairness on every hand. All of us have had the opportunity of observing unfairness. Now, you can also react to unfairness outside of your own bad system. See, there are other planets and in orbit around you that are bad too. So, let's say you have no problem in your own local business, but you have a tendency toward arrogance, and that means crusading. So what you want to do is straighten out this one. Straighten out the White House. Straighten out the judiciary system. You want to straighten out this and that. And you set yourself up as an authority who can do it. You have immediately gone into the cosmic system. And this is going to be one of the biggest problems in the tribulation. In the tribulation, one of the worst problems will be crusader arrogance. There are so many opportunities for crusades. And the arrogance of self-righteousness plus crusader arrogance. You're going to straighten out this. You're going to straighten out that. I know believers, and I'm sure you do too, who have been distracted from doctrine, have been distracted from the plan of God because they spend their lives trying to straighten out everything. They're going to straighten out politics. I want to go on record saying things have not improved. They want to straighten out the economy. They want to straighten out some social injustice. They want to straighten out this group or that group, or this person and that person. We've had people join this church to straighten us out. We're still just as bad as we ever were. Arrogance makes one vulnerable to whatever system of demonism is operational. Now again, as believers, we cannot be demon-possessed. Our bodies, being the temple of the Holy Spirit, eliminate such a possibility. All it takes is a little arrogance. All you have to do is see an injustice here and there and react. And it's amazing how many believers react to this and react to that. They're going to straighten this out. That was what was wrong with our great anti-communist movement we used to have in Houston. 30 years ago, I used to speak for the anti-communist movement. Used to give lectures on communist brainwashing techniques. But most of the people in that thing wanted to write congressmen, wanted to hustle this person, pressure that person. And it never occurred to anyone that the solution resides in faithful perception of Bible doctrine, the enlargement of a pivot. And it's always a great temptation to get away from God's plan and whitewash and improve the devil's world. And people, when they finally learn that's no good, then they go into a church and try to straighten out the individual lives of members of the congregation. No privacy is given to people. That's why we insist in this congregation, privacy of the priesthood is the order of the day. And you're not here to straighten anyone out. And people try to malign and gossip and judge and get together and make friends with someone, then tell them how to straighten out their life. You see, it's the same old arrogance. And it makes for vulnerability. But it will be intensified in the tribulation. And believers in the tribulation will be trying to straighten everyone out. They're going to be saying, you can't do that and be a good Christian. You can't do this and be a believer. You have to give up this. You have to change your personality, your behavior pattern. You have to stop dressing that way. You have to stop doing this thing and that thing. And we have it now, not around here very much. It's underground, not very much. But it is rampant throughout the world. Every person who ever had a thought, at some time, had a thought that he could straighten out someone else. And sometimes he was so bad that just the idea of straightening someone out gave him back his self-respect. And that's what's going to make people vulnerable to demon assault in the tribulation. So obviously we cannot react to an injustice. And there will be greater injustices in the tribulation than we have today. To flunk any form of system testing, of course, is arrogance. even if it's only the arrogance of self-pity. And the arrogance of self-pity puts one in the cosmic system. And there will be many thousands of believers in the tribulation who will face greater injustices than we have today. And as they face these injustices and feel sorry for themselves, they immediately go into the cosmic system and immediately become vulnerable to demon attack. There is, of course, the direct attack of each one of the cosmic systems. Cosmic 1 has 26 gates of interlocking systems of arrogance. Cosmic 2 has 9 gates of interlocking systems of hatred. We are going to have to review these, of course, very, very carefully, very soon, because of the tribulational issues involved. Only people in the cosmic system are going to be attacked. Only Homo sapien, as he resides in the cosmic system, is vulnerable to all of this demon activity. The believer who is advancing to maturity, the believer who is faithful in the perception of doctrine, the believer who is quick to recover through rebound, will avoid all of these things. Now, of course, in a time of disaster, there are actually two possible distractions. Personal disaster for either blessing, acceleration of spiritual growth, or warning of cosmic involvement is a great blessing in disguise. But the historical disaster, which relates to the bad decisions, is a very evil thing. Collective disaster results from historical downtrends, whereas and historical downtrends result in a maximum number of believers being exposed to satanic attack. Once in the cosmic system, you are vulnerable. And that's the way it's going to be in the tribulation. Many, many thousands of people will accept Christ as Savior. They will have an emotional excitement for a short time. They're going to heaven. They have eternal life. They will then be caught up in arrogance of one form or another. They will get into the cosmic system. And once they are in the cosmic system, they will suffer everything that the unbeliever suffers in the cosmic system. And there is only one possible way for them to recover, the same way we do, the rebound technique. Then there is one other factor in the tribulation. Strangely enough, there will be prosperity. There never has been a period of worldwide historical disaster that did not bring prosperity to someone. Prosperity is perpetuated just as disaster is perpetuated. Excuse me. And in the history of the world, in times of the greatest adversity, there's always someone who prospers for one reason or another. So that prosperity may not always be evident, but prosperity is just as perpetuating in history as is adversity. And it's inevitable that any believer who gets a good start in Bible doctrine and has a good scale of values is eventually going to have prosperity, even in times of terrible adversity. We are in a depression. They're still calling it a recession, but we have a depression right now in this country. And this depression is a time when some people are going to be very prosperous. People in a time of depression who have courage and integrity often become very successful. People who are ruthless also become successful. But the point is, no matter how great the depression becomes, somewhere someone is going to be having prosperity. Believers have prosperity from perception of doctrine. And that principle goes right on even in time of great historical adversity. Now, the tribulation is a time of great historical adversity. The tribulation is a time when there will be disaster piled upon disaster, as we have begun to realize from our study of the Doomsday Book, the Trumpet Judgments, and other things coming up. But in the midst of all of this terrible adversity, there will be prosperity. Believers, some believers are going to become very prosperous in the historical adversity of the tribulation. Now they face the greatest test of all. Prosperity testing is one of the most difficult of all problems. Individual prosperity testing, in which some form of success challenges you with regard to your priorities. Collective prosperity, you belong to a group who is prosperous, a nation, a city, individuals formed into some business group, and you become very prosperous. And therefore, in sharing that prosperity, there is also the possibility of distraction. So that prosperity is probably one of the most subtle and most dangerous attacks against the soul of the believer. For prosperity can only be enjoyed by continuing to put doctrine first. The perception of doctrine gives capacity for that prosperity. But where that prosperity becomes a source of arrogance, a source of loss as far as your scale of values is concerned, then you become a victim of the cosmic system by your own decisions. You associate that prosperity with you rather than the grace of God. You become arrogant about that prosperity. You begin to look down your nose at other people, and you find yourself in the cosmic system. This is going to happen in the tribulation. There will be a category of believers who will never grow up. Once they accept Christ as Savior, one category will always be babies. They will be in the baby stage, and from the baby stage, they will go into the cosmic system. Then there will be those who will reach adolescence and then go into the cosmic system. Then there are those who go beyond adolescence to maturity, and these face the prosperity test. And if they flunk the prosperity test, then they are just as vulnerable to demon attack as the babies and adolescent believers who went into the cosmic system. No one can say the Bible doesn't tell us. It isn't revealed, therefore it's not a subject for dogmatic statement. But a large, perhaps the larger number of believers in the tribulation are going to fail. They are going to be in just as much the target for these demon attacks as unbelievers are. And as a matter of fact, unbelievers can even escape demon attack through the laws of divine establishment. And perhaps there will be a rare few who do so. If you have prosperity without capacity for happiness, the prosperity always is going to cause difficulty. Capacity must precede the actual prosperity, and that will be true in the tribulation just as it is true now. So basically then, the answer to the question, how do tribulational believers avoid these things, is very simple. Rebound when necessary. The same attitude toward doctrine that you have as a believer in the divine dynasphere. The scale of values, which will not be changed, and the avoidance of any form or system of arrogance. There are all too many forms available. We will study some of these as we continue with this tonight, beginning with verse 6. We're grateful now, Heavenly Father, for the privilege and the opportunity of fellowshipping in the Word today. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will take these things that we have noted and make them a source of challenge, that we might grow in grace, that we might become aware of the fact that while dispensations change, life doesn't really change that much. And the manner in which we avoid or recover from the cosmic system is very similar to that of believers in the tribulation. So we pray that we might begin to realize in our day and from the eschatology of the future the importance of our walk with Thee, the importance of a personal relationship on a day-by-day basis, which includes the perception of doctrine and growth in grace. Challenge us from these things, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.